This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
She's Hannah Ferguson, and she's next.
And now, from the legendary Studio B, so you're in Seattle with Gregor.
I think that people putting all this time into crafting a costume just to go have fun with friends and strangers at a real nerdy event is just the best. Just haven't invested the time myself. Idea: I want to dress up in cosplay as Soundwave from the original Transformers, that version of him at least. And then I want to take Space Baby, my kid, he's two, and I want to make him like a little Ravage or like one of the cassettes that transforms, and then the two of us can go together. Look up Transformers Generation 1 for this. The nerds my age will be like, yes, I think. I don't know. But it seems like it would be really hard to build all this stuff, and I don't really know where to start. Luckily, we have a local group called Zach Labs, Zaklabs, and that's exactly what they do. It's a super open, friendly environment where you come, pay a few bucks, and you can work on your costumes with people who do this all the time. It's their business, literally. So you don't know how to get that perfect robot look on your feet or whatever? They can help you so you don't make the early mistakes that'll make it too heavy or fall apart too easily or get, like, consumed by the rain or whatever. Zach Labs is awesome, and Hannah's a part of that. This is great talk. She's a lovely human being. You can follow her on Instagram at NinjaCatCosplay to see all the different projects she's working on and all the things that she'll talk about here in this upcoming chat. It's a lot of fun. Work for this, and
I'm doing all volunteer sourcing and management. And
when it comes to getting volunteers for a thing like that, is there like a community angle to Renton City Comic Con? Does it like, everyone's volunteering? You guys are all volunteering.
Yes. Yeah. So all of the creative team is volunteer based right now still. And we're in year four and we're still volunteer based.
That's a lot of work.
Yes. And so what we do for what I've been doing to source volunteers is reaching out to, you know, high schools, places that, you know, need students to get volunteer credit, also to a lot of the cosplay boards on Facebook and cool. And things like that. So people who are just generally interested in you know, Comic-Cons in general.
It's a free ticket.
Yes. Yeah. It's a free ticket to something, you know, that you're already interested in and we're probably going to go to anyways. So
perfect.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming in to talk cosplay today. I'm always so blown away by it, and it's gotten so big in the last several years. Yeah. It used to be like you'd see some wild things and then a lot of normal people. When I say normal, I mean normally dressed people at a convention, and now it feels like everyone gets a little piece of that dressing up. I don't know. I feel like you're almost the abnormal one now if you don't have some sort of
nerd garb.
Yeah, nerd garb. I like that. That's good.
Yeah.
Is that fair, or has it blown up a lot in the last several years?
I mean, and being from the Midwest, I didn't have as much exposure to it.
Sure.
Until recently. I think in the last 10 years, it has grown exponentially. So, I mean, people are just finding ways to get more creative with it. It's becoming more accessible. There's more tutorials out there now. So it's not so foreign for people to see something and be like, how do I make that? There's a lot more materials out there for people to source to get into it.
And yeah, it's not just the kid. It's not just the kid that has the dad that works in like on the costume design
he's got
for
like
it.
A woodworking shop. Yeah, yeah, you know, yeah, people are doing this in their living rooms now in front of Netflix. That's exclusively what I do.
So. And just put on a show and binge it while you're building something.
Yeah, it keeps the mind busy.
How did you get into it?
So 2 years ago, I moved out to Seattle, and I had a friend who really wanted to go to Emerald City Comic Con, and yeah. I had never been to one. And she's like, I just really want to go and I want to dress up. Like, would you like to do that? And I, like, we're both theatrical. I'm like, of course, I love dressing up. That'd be great. And I'm a super competitive person, so I'm just like, I'm going to make the most awesome costume ever. And so I, you know, was scouring the internet, searching for what I wanted to dress up as. You know, I really liked Disney, and I wanted something challenging. And I saw people making this, like, foam armor, and I was like, I have no idea how to even do that, but I want to try it. So I ended up on Hiccup from How to Train Your Dragon. So I was
like, oh, the best.
It was like a character I loved, which is always, you know, a good thing. So it was a character I loved, something that seemed like enough of a challenge, and something I would enjoy wearing. So I got started, had no idea what I was doing. And
had you done any costume stuff for theater or anything before?
I had, like, taken a costuming class in college.
Okay.
It was, like, basic sewing. No fabrication or anything of the like. You know, we had done theatrical sets, you know, turning something flat into something 3D.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't something that I was super experienced in. I knew how to use power tools, and I knew how to use a sewing machine, basically.
I can't do either of those things. So that's, like, a huge advantage. I mean, that's cool.
But I had no idea how to turn something, like, flat into a 3D piece of armor. So I was searching on Facebook, and one of my friends had said that they were interested in going to what was an open cosplay workshop at Zach Labs. And I was like, that sounds like exactly what I need. So I drove out, you know, to the middle of Renton, had no idea, like, walked into this garage just
like some, like, dude's house.
Yep, some dude's house, and it had, like, a little sign, and I was like, hello, and there were people in there crafting. I was like, can you help me make this thing? And first thing Brian said was, okay, you're using all the wrong materials. Like, I didn't have foam. I had bought a giant sheet of, like, PVC from Home Depot and was like, I think you can heat this up and shape it. And he's like, no.
Please, child.
No, it emits chlorine gas when you heat it up. And that's it. And I was like, oh, good to know. Okay. So
how many cosplay related fatalities have there been? My God.
Oh, my goodness. None so far, hopefully. Maybe heat stroke. It was so helpful just being there with other people creating, and I got kind of an idea, and I got a lot of help from Brian. And then I just kept coming back. Like, I just kept asking if I could come back to the garage, and I came back over and
what would
over.
You have done if he said no?
He's like, he said, no, I can't help you. I would have been like, okay, I would have gone back to my living room and still probably would have been crafting out of my living room.
That's cool.
But yeah, so now I work for Zach Labs because I just kept showing up. Even when there weren't workshops, I just asked if I could come back by and use the power tools. Brian and I built a great relationship, and now I get to be mentored by him, and he has a lot of background in this kind of stuff, and so I've been learning and building bigger and bigger things.
He's a fun guy. He's got a lot of visual aspiration. He's a photographer also, and
yeah.
So the idea that he works in visual fields, I think, really translates. He figured out how to take that and move it from just photographing something cool or playing a cool video game and make it three-dimensional and come to life, which is fantastic.
He also has a background in puppetry. So Brian actually used to make puppets.
And yeah, I guess I've talked to him before. I interviewed him a couple of years ago. You can go and find the episode of it from So You're in Seattle. And it's we had a good talk about that. I'd forgotten about that aspect, though.
So he was into cosplay, like, back in 2008 when it was just, when Dragon Con was, you know, just.
Well, the thing was, people would show up in Halo Master Chief.
Mm-hmm.
They would show up in, like, Halo gear that they had built themselves. And I remember that and being like, wow, this is cool. And now it's, like, blown up. It's
And, like, BlizzCon, he made, like, some old World of Warcraft. And I say old relatively.
Yeah.
But, like, older World of Warcraft stuff, and showed up to BlizzCon. And it was, like, you know, 10 years ago, everyone was like, that was amazing. That's so amazing. It's incredible.
That big bird thing he made was crazy.
That was crazy.
Turok,
and so,
he
ended up dismantling it because with a build like that, he's like, I'm never going to be able to wear it again. Because you need a full-time handler just to get around.
Well, and being a photographer, you know, you get some pictures of that and then, like, good enough for the memory,
like,
there.
Yep. And I think that that's really important in cosplay, is you need a balance between, you know, the creativity and, you know, the visual impact, but it also needs to function.
Yeah.
You know, you need to have pockets. You need to be able to go to the bathroom, which are things when I first started creating costumes, I didn't think about it at all. I could not get out of my costumes to, like, pee unless I wanted to take the whole thing off. And so now it's things that I think about before, like, as I'm conceptualizing. So
is it sometimes you're like, there's no way we could do that because I could never pee?
I mean, it does come into the conversation. You know, Brian wants to build bigger and bigger things. And I said, okay, but now it requires two people to man this costume. It's now a puppet. It's now, you know, a piece of machinery that we're wheeling around. So it really just depends on it. And it has to be an agreement of, like, are we going to build this thing together? Or is it just going to be, you know, something you work on for yourself, something I work on for myself? But yeah, it's the possibilities are endless with cosplay now.
It's so crazy to see all of it and all the different types. I guess, what are some of the different types that you see, like simple versus complex? Like, what are the levels that you see of people going out? And is it something that anyone can do?
Oh, absolutely. So, I mean, the reason I love it so much, and I didn't expect to be, you know, so involved in the cosplay community. I came to Seattle with an acting degree, and now I'm kind of on this craftsman side of things. And I do believe that anyone can do it. And it's a hobby that is strictly built on passion, you know, someone's passion for either a character or, you know, a series or pop culture, or, you know, it's just a way for people to express themselves. And we can talk more about that and like how it feels being in cosplay. But in terms of the differences, whenever I go to a Comic-Con, I see kind of different tiers of people. There's the people who are really into the hair and makeup, so they spend a lot of money on nice wigs, and they, you know, are really into doing all of this elaborate makeup, and then they'll just wear simple clothing that they've bought or, you know, clothing that they've sewn. And then there's the fabricators who are really into building armor and, you know, creating larger than life. And there's no right or wrong. Not one is better than the other.
Sure.
A great amount of work goes into both of them.
Yeah, no joke, right?
Both of those things. And then there's the people who just want to go and wear a costume that they purchased and just be in the community in this costume they purchased. They're not craftsmen. They have no desire to be, like, to create it themselves. They feel the same with a purchased costume as opposed to one that they've made. So, I'd say that there's definitely differences, but I think everyone still has an equal amount of work that they and care that they put into their costumes.
I've been following you on Instagram throughout the entirety of this. So I've seen
the
like the
IG.
Stuff that I see the stuff that you build at Ninja Cat Cosplay.
That
right?
is it. Yes.
I've seen the stuff that you build. I guess you kind of fall into like different, depending on like the situation, different iterations of that. Do you have a favorite? Do you like, how do you choose when you're going to build something, what you're going to dive into?
Well, for me, I mean, I have always worked with power tools since I was a kid. My dad was a carpenter, so I've been using bandsaw as a child.
Great.
So
hold up your hands.
They're all still there.
Okay,
all the digits
are
there. They're not pretty by any means. I feel like I enjoy expanding my skill set. So I think for me, it's a matter of what have I tackled before and how can I learn in a build, because I just really enjoy expanding my skill sets. When it comes to choosing a costume, it's mostly character based for me, because I'm a very empathetic person. I have a very deep connection to characters that I cosplay, and I want to make them super accurate. So if I do choose something from a show, like I did Moana, that was my first thing that I've sewn from
cool.
scratch, which I don't sew clothing. I can sew like pillowcases, and I can, you know, I can use a machine, but I hadn't really built something that I was going to wear. And I wanted to make sure that it wasn't like the Walmart spandex ones. I was really focused on picking the right materials, making sure the fabrics looked very organic, making the dye look very organic. And for me, that was like a pride moment for me of I wanted to be very accurate, and it was also a consideration towards the character and like what materials would this character have used.
Yeah.
You know, they wouldn't have had access to spandex, or it was kind of like a dramaturgy thing for me.
You're really getting the character.
Nerding out a little bit.
Whatever,
yeah. yeah.
It sells it though, because when you have to put it on and be that person, like a question I was going to ask you is like how much of a role is, if you're picking out a character, how much of it is acting? But it sounds like for you, it's almost everything.
There are some people who like to stick to a character in their costume, and that's fine. I don't always. With Moana, it's a little different because you have the little kids coming up to you and, sure. you know, they don't see a person, they see a princess. And so I always try to be very bright and bubbly and kind and
what a censored. Stretch.
Censored is the important word sure. there. So, yeah, it's with the other costumes, I don't necessarily stay in character when I'm talking with my friends.
Of course.
But with pictures and everything, there's a certain confidence that comes with putting on a set of armor. And it's kind of like when you're a kid and you put on a Halloween costume, you know, or you put on that like Batman cape to run around the house. It's like that for adults. I don't think that feeling ever goes away.
Well, that's the challenge, right? Is that you, like for me, at least in my life, I don't want to lose connection to the me that was full of wonder and thought that like, oh, I could definitely be an astronaut. You know, I'm an old, yeah. old guy and I'm still like, well, I could probably still go to space. That seems like pretty reasonable.
It's becoming more and more financially possible. Like.
Not in my career.
Oh, well, come make costumes. You'll make a load of money.
I've heard that about cosplay design. It's a fantastically lucrative.
Oh, yes.
But indeed. It's the idea of not losing that magic. I just bought my wife did. I didn't do anything. But she just bought my two-year-old a spaceman, like with a rocket pack and a helmet. And, like, he's never going to stop running around in that. And I imagine he's going to sleep in it because
he'll wear it to school. Like, yeah. I want to wear it to preschool.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. And he'll, like, scream and shout if we don't let him. I don't want to, maybe it's like not appropriate for like a board meeting or whatever, but I don't want to ever lose connection with that. And that's why I'm so fascinated by this world, because you have a chance to step out of your own clothes and be something else and be welcomed there, it feels like.
Yeah. And I think that it is a stronger, I mean, people who are in the artistic community or who have been kind of nurtured by the arts growing up have a stronger connection to that imagination and don't really want to, you know, let that go. I mean, for me, I've always been creative. You know, I haven't had jobs focused on income. For me, it's always been, you know, I just want to create and express myself. And I enjoy that side of me now and I'm embracing it. And I surround myself with people who also embrace that side of me because that's what I like about myself. And that's, the imagination is just such a powerful tool that that's why I love Comic-Con so much, even though I'm not, you know, super, I've never been super into the very like deep dive nerdy side of things. Yeah. I love, you know, all my nerdy things like Firefly, Star Wars, et cetera.
Yeah, you have like a handful of things that you're into. And it's not, I feel like it gets a little competitive to be like, oh yeah, well, my character's the most obscure.
And I know this much. Have you heard, you know, this line in this obscure episode of fan fiction?
I mean, and here I am working at a music radio station and I'm not the music guy here. So it's like people will come talk to me about stuff like, oh, I have no idea. You should talk to someone who's like really into music that we're and they're like, what? How's that possible? But yeah, it's like just because I love a thing doesn't mean I'm infinitely knowledgeable about all parts of it or whatever. It just whatever
Absolutely.
Sparks that imagination.
Yeah.
God, that's so fun. It must be a really expensive hobby.
It is so expensive. And I think that that's where a lot of people get discouraged and find limitations is a lot of the tutorials out there today are working with a little pricier materials like Warbla.
What's that?
Warbla is a thermoplastic. So
Warbla, W-A-R-B-L-A?
W-O-R-B-L-A.
Okay.
So it's a moldable plastic and there's lots of, you know, variations of it, but you can heat it up and mold it to whatever you like. It creates a very sturdy and nice product, but it is about $50 for just a small little sheet of it, like a 2x4 sheet.
Would you use it to make like a harness or something like that? Or
a lot of people use it to make armor coatings. So foam is really typically used for armor, and a lot of beginner cosplayers use that because it's like super accessible and it's cheap. And if you mess up, you don't have to, you know, waste a ton of money. So foam has been what I've been going to, but a lot of people will then coat that in Warbla and give it a really hard surface. So it's a lot more durable. It does make your costumes last longer, but it's expensive. And I have made some rings out of it. I needed harness rings, you know, and I only had one big iron ring. And I was like, well, I need two. I need two of them. So I just, you know, heated up the warbler, and it's kind of like Play-Doh. You can mush it all together. And you can roll it up into a little snake. It was like, you know, elementary art class again.
Yeah.
So I made a little snake and then made it into, rolled it around a PVC pipe and made two perfectly symmetrical rings made of this plastic instead of metal. And I didn't have to go buy any.
And then it's lighter.
Mm-hmm. It is lighter. And you can texture it in a lot of different ways. You can heat it up and use, you know, clay carving tools to create detail. It's a very versatile tool.
But expensive.
It is expensive. Same with resins. A lot of higher end movie grade props use resin casting, which I've just gotten into and I've started learning, but it does run very expensive, like $80 for, you know, a pint of this stuff.
And you you can easily screw up $80 worth of resin.
Oh yes. I've screwed up so many things with it. And it's not an easy thing to work with. So there's a lot of different tiers of this hobby, and it really just depends on how much you want to spend on it. And I don't think that just because you spent $10 on a costume, it's any worse than someone who spent $2,000 on a costume.
I guess what's the average you end up putting into? I know you can't say for all of your costumes because the Moana one's going to be way different than like an armor one that you make or whatever. But like, in order to get ready in a couple months from now, you're going to go to the thing. What are you budgeting?
A couple hundred. And it really comes down to not just the materials. So let's say if I'm doing just a simple armor build, foam, we get foam in bulk, so it's a little cheaper, like $50 for the foam. But then you're also doing you're priming it, and you need two cans of primer. That's, you know, ten bucks.
Yeah, yeah.
You need two cans of paint. You need all the strapping, buckles. Not to mention the clothing you're going to wear under it. So it does end up becoming...
Oh, I haven't thought about that. What do you attach foam to? Like if you're making armor and stuff?
That's a good question. So there's a lot of different ways to do it. A lot of people use Velcro. So you can Velcro it directly to like a bodysuit. If you're doing like a Zentai suit, you can sew Velcro onto there and you can have the armor pieces Velcro.
Oh my God, I'm just like imagining myself in a bodysuit and being so
like embarrassed. Like a morph suit. It's that's a whole different monster. You can print. There's people that make their own patterns and print them out onto fabric and then cut them and sew them together. The one time I ordered a bodysuit, it came with zero instructions of how to sew it together. I was like, oh my Lord. So that was an adventure. But yeah, you can also use elastic for strapping. You can just strap it on that way. You can do leather strapping with buckles. And the way I attach the strapping to the foam is usually with Chicago screws. So I actually bolt them together.
What's a Chicago screw?
A Chicago screw, it's like a two-part screw.
I feel like this is a dirty joke or something.
No, it's just a two-part screw. So it's got like one part with a, what's it called?
Just a hand sign for twisty.
Yes, yes.
It's like a twisty part and a thing?
Yeah, it's got a twisty part. So it's got a striped... channel, whatever you call it,
sure.
and then a bolt end, and you screw them, you know, you put one end through the foam and then the other end goes through the leather and you just screw it in. So it's a bolt that becomes, you know, you can loosen, take it apart and then put it back together.
Okay, yeah.
Basically you're just bolting them together.
Is it like an eyelet that you're putting it through? Like, is it I'm gonna look it up. Don't worry about it. You don't have to describe it. It's fine.
I have some here.
Well, let's see. I'll take a picture and post it and then we'll
so I have my armor right here. So this is the leather strap right here, and this is the other end of the Chicago screw. So
that's
one side, and then the other side just goes through there. And so you just screw them together, and I'll take it apart for you.
It looks kind of rivety.
Yeah, it's like a rivet that can be removed.
Okay.
So the thing is with rivets, you basically hammer them into the leather, and they're stuck there forever. With a Chicago screw, you can unscrew it, and you can take your armor pieces apart. So I just finger tighten them like that. And then, ta-da!
Okay, so it's like a peg.
Yeah.
That is
See,
hollowed
out.
See,
it's not easy to describe, is it?
Correct.
It's better than gluing pieces together because if you need to take your armor apart for storage or if you want it to have some... movement.
Yeah.
So the screws provide movement if you're doing tiered pieces of armor.
God, how do you learn this?
from Brian.
He just knows what he's doing.
Well, and, you know, Brian was the first person who, like, showed me what Chicago screws were. But even looking at other people doing this, like, they don't talk about it a ton. But I'm just like, oh, that makes sense. A lot of people, the more I've been looking around, a lot of people do use this kind of method.
It creates a spool is what it does.
Yeah.
So you have like two bigger pieces and then a narrow wishbone in the middle.
Yeah.
And then
it's basically like a pivot point. And yeah, yeah. So then if you're doing tiered like pieces of armor, a lot of people do tiered pieces of the same size. You have movement. And again, it comes down to that functionality of like, this looks cool, but I still have to wear it and I have to be able to move in it. So it creates a hinge, essentially.
Up close here, I'm looking at your armor. And it's armor.
These are my Warbler rings, by the way.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
There's...
Yeah, they look totally metallic from here.
And so they're pretty strong, too. So I did a stress test on them. I pulled them. You know, you can yank on them. I threw it across the room.
Now, I mean, if I really look up close at this, I'm like, oh, this is foam, you know, because like it's here I am or whatever.
It's not finished yet.
And you could, sure. But you couldn't craft this from metal and then be
you
wearing.
You could, but it would be really, it's a lot of. And there are people who are into that, you know.
Okay.
More of the Renaissance folk.
Yeah.
Renaissance fair folk. They really enjoy metal crafting and woodworking.
As the skill of doing that.
Yes.
But and imagine like, wearing a metal all day long, how heavy that would be.
They do it and they're like, oh yeah, it hurts so bad. Like, but I just put up with it because.
I know people who wear beautiful shoes that hurt their feet constantly.
Yes.
So
yeah, exactly. And so. And foam, it's really easy to laser engrave as well. So all the Celtic detailing on here, I actually have been learning to work with Adobe Illustrator and creating a bitmap file to put it into the laser, and then it engraves this detailing into the armor. And so you can't engrave metal with a laser of our capacity. You'd need something like really heavy duty, or you'd need to like hammer it into there.
The only laser I have is to make my cat run around. So it's not the capacity.
And,
like,
and ours
then.
Is pretty big. I mean, you've seen it. I don't know if you've seen it,
no,
but
it's
a 4-foot by 2-foot bed. It's, you know, it's huge. It's not like even one of the little crafty ones, but even it can't engrave metal that well. You have to spray some weird like chemical on it for it to do something like that. So there's a lot of creativity with foam that you can do, and I took a Dremel and gouged out, you know, all this weathering in it, and
it's to make just, it look used,
yeah,
right?
Make it look battle worn, and it like again, it just it's a very accessible material that I've seen both beginners and experts use. So I think that's why a lot of the builders out there use foam, is because there is a wide variety of things you can do with it.
That's so cool. Now. Okay, so what are the costumes that you have done? Because I know you have a variety. What did you start with first?
It's been very hard to create new stuff lately. I started with Hiccup. That was my very first one. And looking back at it, I giggle because I'm like, oh, there's so many things I would have done better.
That's with anything, though.
With anything. And I started with Hiccup, and then I did a Deanne cosplay from Seven Deadly Sins, which I had to sew a leotard, which I had never done. So I worked with dyeing fabric. I dyed some elastic to get it the right color, and then tried to sew like these big poofy sleeves, which if you look really close, they're uneven. But you, from pictures, you can't tell. So I know all of the imperfections in my costume. And that came with a big, like 6-foot hammer that I carved out of styrofoam.
When I met you, you were working on that at the time, and it was like, how is that going to turn into a giant hammer? And
did you see it? Yeah. So I probably won't work with styrofoam again unless I'm going to coat it several times with like what's called Epsilon Pro. It's a hard coating.
Mm-hmm.
I only did about 2 coats on it, and the poor thing, I need to remake it because it's been cracked up.
How frustrating.
It is.
Because you put a lot of time into props and stuff to only have to redo it. Will you ever redo it?
I'm working on it now.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm working slowly on redoing it piece by piece, but it is hard, like, because you got to tear it up to then remake it.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the beauty of art, is that, like, it's never going to last forever.
Yeah, it's cool.
And it's beautiful at the time. And a lot of people, you know, do remake their costumes. They decide to remake and adjust and make them better. And that kind of comes with you know, just how you grow and how your skills grow. But a lot of people, if their costumes get kind of junky, they don't remake them and they just say, well, that was nice, and they put it away. And
well, I mean, like, how okay, let's finish how many costumes you...
So and then I did Moana, and we made the StarCraft Nova costume. That was a promotional for Zach Labs. We built that in 2 weeks.
What?
So that was a
complicated one.
I've never wanted to die so much in my life than the 2 weeks. And it was just, we were trying to get it ready for Emerald City, and I was just up in the shop till like 1 a.m. every night, and just like, how are we going to get this done? But Brian and I, thankfully, you know, we had his help. My boyfriend came in and helped for a little bit, like painting.
Is he supportive?
So very supportive. He's also an artist. In a sense, he makes video games. Cool. So we're both nerdy and both, you know, creative types. So we experience the rises and pitfalls of being an artistic type. Then the Blood Elf costume for Emerald City this year. And that was another 2 week build. Which I think we're just going to have to make a thing. Every year we're going to be like, what can we build in 2 weeks? And we'll just have like a countdown clock and videotape our insanity. And
that's awesome. That'd be a great like live stream. Like just have that going on Twitch in the background the whole time.
Like wild consumption of Cheez-Its and you know, energy drinks.
I just learned something. If you put Cheez-Its into a smoker and you give them like a barbecue rub, they come out incredible.
Oh, no.
Shout out to my buddy Neil, who definitely taught me about that
last
weekend.
That's amazing. So. I think extra toasty Cheez-Its are definitely our snack of choice at Zach Labs.
That's perfect.
The extra toasty ones. I can't go back to regular Cheez-Its.
Now, you mentioned getting, bulk foam and stuff like that. Are there vendors that specialize in this, or do you just know where to go?
There are a lot of, there's vendors that sell bulk foam to the cosplay world. So there's TNT that sells it in a big roll. There's SKS Props that has now started building their own foam. Yaya Han has her own brand of foam. And Zach Labs sells our own foam. Where we source it from, we just found a factory that makes these big blocks of foam.
Yeah.
And they're huge. And they basically slice it down into little strips. And we just pay for a very large order from them because we know we're going to use it, or we sell it to nearby craftsmen who want to purchase a big sheet of it. And it's nice because it's double-sided smooth foam. A lot of times you'll see people crafting with like just the puzzle piece floor mats that they can buy at Home Depot. And the hard part with that is that one side has a texture on it that you either have to hide or get rid of. And it's also... the type of foam that it is kind of toxic if you burn it. So don't burn your foam, people.
Yeah.
Try not to.
These are important. Like and like when you're spray painting, you have to be careful not to be inside
There's
without a fan
so many
going.
Chemicals.
And like,
it's really probably not a good hobby for my health, but people still do it. You know, open a window, make sure to wear protective materials. You know, wear your hearing.
Protection. No joke. They cover those eyes, man. Wear
Please
goggles.
Cover your eyes.
Good God.
It's really important to stress that.
Okay, so when you get dressed up in your various cosplay items, like some of them, like I'm trying to be delicate about this, so just know that I'm beating around the bush or whatever. if you wear something that is
revealing
mm-hmm. or sexy or something like that, mm-hmm. I can only imagine that I know humans that would make that really tough. So what's like is there like a toxicity element other than the burning foam that comes with cosplay specifically as a woman?
It's an ongoing topic in cosplay. Being a female in cosplay... I mean, there are also males that do risque cosplay. It's a little, it doesn't get as much heat, but it's hard to know where to start. And I support all body confidence. You know, if you want to get out there and if something makes you feel confident, then wear it.
Yeah.
What my thing is, what I try to do is I always enforce, like, make sure you're wearing proper undergarments. You know, to be sensitive about it. You don't, there's something to be said about being risque, but you also want to be, you know, appropriate if there's children around the Comic-Con.
Sure.
So I try, if there's kids around and they want a picture with me, I try to choose a pose that is a little more appropriate with the child or something like that, because it that's just my personal thing. And I always just want to be, I want to be covered, you know, or I want to be wearing things that I would be comfortable with. If, you know, someone saw something that I'd have to either be like, yes, I'm okay with that. Or if I'm not, then I need to change it.
So make good choices.
Yeah. And make choices that you're comfortable with. And if someone's pushing you to wear something that you're not comfortable in, don't do it. Or if the costume itself, if you really like the character, but the costume's a little risque for you, change it, make it more appropriate for you. Or if you want to make a costume a little more risque or a little more revealing, if there's parts of you that, you know, you like, you know, you can do that with cosplay. Obviously, there is something to be said about if it's an 18 and up kind of cosplay, make sure to maybe wear it at night, or there's events that are specifically catered to that.
Do you get put into any uncomfortable situations when you are dressed up?
I do. And it's not very often, thankfully. A lot of the community has learned that cosplay is not consent. It's become a very popular phrase. So just because someone's in a costume does not consent for you to take their photo. It doesn't consent for you to touch them. Just like someone at...
I've got a great example.
Yeah.
Pregnant ladies.
Yes.
Just because they're pregnant does not mean you can touch their belly.
Or just because they have a tattoo doesn't mean that you can touch their tattoo. It's not an invitation. It's an expression of myself, and it's a way for me to express myself. But again, people have always been very respectful about asking to take photos. I have had someone sneak like a down shirt shot. And I've had people... They try to sneak up skirts. They try to sneak down shirts. It's not as popular, but it happens. And I think the most important thing is learning how to handle that situation and speaking up.
Karate.
Well, yes, karate. If you know karate, yeah. Great. If you've got that good throat punch in your back pocket.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I do. I bring that with me.
I can't even tell someone to throat punch someone. But, and I know it is hard because a lot of women don't feel like they can speak up, or it doesn't come to them in the moment. But speak up if you can.
Does the community, do you feel like when you're in the community of cosplayers that they have your back, like that it's a safer space than maybe if you were like transporting between your car and the and the event?
There's safety in numbers for sure. And granted, the cosplay community is so huge, I can't guarantee I'm gonna like everybody in the cosplay community. There's such a wide variety of people, but a lot of the people are there for the same reasons, and they want you to be protected, and they want you to feel safe and confident. There's a lot of groups and subreddits and Instagram accounts just focused on body positivity and positivity for females in cosplay. There are females who are, strictly into more of the bikini cosplays, and they have their community that's very supportive. And there are people who are into, just every kind of realm of cosplay. You're going to find someone who supports you. I always bring a friend with me when I'm cosplaying, or I always try to be around a group just because it's just safe, and I enjoy people, so it's more fun for me to have people around and have, you know, all my friends are very supportive, and if I can't speak up, they'll speak up for me please ask to take a photograph, you know, if you'd like one, you can ask. Or if I see someone like trying to take a photograph, I just turn to them and was like, oh, hi, would you like a photo? And they're like, oh, yes, please. I'm like, oh, okay, you can just ask. It's fine. And I'm a very direct person. I understand not a lot of people are that way. And I have to respect that. But I just encourage people to, you know who you are, know what you're comfortable with.
Yeah.
And, you know, don't be afraid to speak up if something makes you uncomfortable.
I mean, I'm sure there's press that's there that, like, I see photos every local newspaper has, day one of Emerald City Comic Con and stuff like that. Is that a different story when they're out snapping photos of you to cover it? Or do you still get a little...
I don't know. I haven't had... I had like the monster booth one time be like, oh, can we take a video of you by our monster booth?
Like energy drink?
Yeah, like the energy drink for like our campaign. And that was definitely something that it's like you could say no, absolutely.
Yeah.
And if, I mean, it's a lot, someone's not allowed to take your photo without you knowing about it. Like they can't just take your photo and publish it in the newspaper without you like knowing that they took your photo. So you can always ask. Say like, hey, I don't feel comfortable with that photo of me being like on a public newspaper. Can you please
not do that?
Not do that. But a lot of the times I haven't really run into that. I'm not in the newspapers. I got a face for radio.
I take that as an insult and also as a truth. So okay, that's great.
No, don't worry. My friends were like, oh, Gregor, like, I don't even know what he looks like. So I showed him your Instagram. He's like, oh, wow. Yeah, totally not what I pictured.
Everyone says, I assumed you'd be short. And I'm
so
like,
suave.
Boy, did you get that wrong, because that is the exact opposite. You brought in, so my boss came and found me and she said, yeah, there's a woman with a scepter in the lobby. I assume she's here to see you. I was like, accurate?
Nice. Possibly.
You brought in some sort of staff. What do you call this?
It could be a scepter or a staff. It was kind of just an original concept.
Oh, cool. So this is not based on something.
No.
This is my problem is I don't, if it's not like Mega Man 2, then I like don't know. Even then I don't know. But like I have very limited range of like non-popular stuff that I know about. So this could be from Warcraft or whatever.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know.
I'll just bring it a little closer. So this was an original concept. It's about 6 feet tall, maybe.
Hold
I don't know.
I'm
I don't
6 foot five.
Oh.
So
I'd say it's about to your like nose or eyeballs.
Yeah. Okay. So it's probably 6 feet.
Okay. So 6 feet, and it's got electronics to it.
Yeah.
It's a,
it's
a four pronged staff with some sort of gem in the top,
glowing,
as if you were going to
orb.
Yeah, like an orb, as if it was going to project magic at me, and I was going to become sort of some sort of creature.
Yes. So it was made as a gift. I try to make my boyfriend a gift every year. So last year I made him like a statue. For it was a character from his game that I like carved and then resin cast, and it's now a garden gnome in our front yard.
Cool.
That was so much work and so many hundreds of dollars. But this one was a little more manageable, something I'd worked with before. It's like a PVC base. It has a wooden, tip on the end for stability, and then it's basically coated in foam and Warbla. This was the first time I'd actually used Warbla. And, you know, the light components are just shoved up inside the PVC to glow through the orb that I purchased on Amazon at the top. So it was a lot of, like, trial and error with this, especially being my first time working with some new materials. It was very frustrating, and I was under a lot of time constraints because it had to be done by his birthday. And I think my original paint job I did on it, I hated it. Because it was like just black, and you couldn't see any of the detailing, and I was just like, it's ugly. And so then I got some silver rub and buff, which is like a wax based paint that you just like rub over the top, and
cool.
It gave it like a silver sheen. And I was like, okay, now I like it. And then with the handle wrapping, I had like glued all of like 8 strips of this leather cording, and I was like, I'm gonna make this cool braid and it's gonna be awesome. And I was watching these YouTube tutorials and I'm like, I can't figure this out.
This is impossible.
Yeah, it was really, really difficult to figure that out. I think I spent hours trying to do it. And like, once you start braiding something, you kind of have to finish it. Otherwise it just all like gets unraveled. So it was a fun time.
It's really cool to be able to, does he cosplay?
He goes to Renaissance Fair. We go to Renaissance Fair every year.
Okay.
And, we like to like have the whole camp out. Like we camp, we have a whole themed like tent.
Catch and kill rabbits and eat them in the field.
Yeah. I mean,
over fire
or like forage for mushrooms, I guess. I don't know.
Careful.
If you're vegetarian, but, yeah, I think that he dresses up for Renaissance Fair, and that's something he enjoys to do. But he is more of a purchaser of costumes, kind of on that end.
So will he be some sort of wizard then?
He is now.
Yeah, you're going as a wizard guy.
He loves wizards, and so he wasn't really planning on doing anything in particular. He had like a some basic leather like pauldron and garb and everything. And I was like, here's this thing. And I was like, I know you weren't really planning on being a wizard. And he's like, well, I'm going to be one now. So we got him like a hooded cloak.
So he's aware of this.
He's aware of it. Good. Absolutely. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that's something that we've done together. And he's never going to make something for himself. Or even if he did, it would be me like talking him through it. So I tried to get him something too. Upgrade his costume.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so people have made it this far through this, and I just want to make sure we started with it, but I want to talk a little bit more in depth about Renton City Comic Con, RenCon.
RenCon, yes, absolutely. Thank you guys for listening so long.
Yeah. September 7th and 8th, 8th and 9th?
It is September 7th and 8th.
7th and 8th, yeah. I have it written down. Yes. I should actually go to it. But
go to the notebook.
At September 7th and 8th.
It's at Renton Technical College.
In Renton.
This year in Renton, surprisingly enough. So I am actually on the creative team for RenCon as well, which I was brought on just a couple months ago.
She's fixing her armor right now. Yeah. Like, she can't just let it be because it's got to be perfect.
It's my pride and joy.
That's awesome.
Yes, Renton Comic Con. It's been around for about 4 years now. If you haven't heard of it by now, this is your chance.
Get in now at this level. Yeah.
It's still a very, very affordable convention. I think day passes run around $25.
Oh, that's great.
Which is unheard of. And also, if you volunteer for a 4-hour chunk of time, you get a free day pass. And I'm in charge of volunteers, so I'm going to be herding all the cats this year rather than actually going to the convention, which, you know, it's going to be great. I'm really excited to have a part in helping it grow.
Now, there's a lot of guests that come through, and you can look at all of them at RentonCityComicCon.com, which is the place to go and find it. It looks awesome. It's so well done. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. And like the list of people, there's a guy from NASA that's on there.
Yeah.
There's like he's in charge of STEM outreach for to get kids involved in awesome NASA type things. And he's going to be there to help talk about stuff. And then like all these different people who have skills in building props and cool stuff to that degree.
We do have a lot of cosplay guests.
Which is awesome.
Yes. And it really is because RenCon in the past couple of years has really shown itself as a cosplay friendly con. It's a very family friendly con, which Brian, my business partner at Zag Labs, actually owns RenCon. So with his love for cosplay, he wants to then, you know, make it very accessible for cosplayers to come to his convention. So we do have a lot of craftsmen coming.
It was crazy. I was on your website, RentonCityComicCon.com, and you can get if you want to take your cosplay, if you want to level up your cosplay,
you can do the level
was.
Up class, yeah.
Yeah, you get 20 minutes with somebody who's, like, experienced, like, a cosplay builder.
Mm-hmm. We have teams of two, so you can get your dream team.
Yeah.
And you can choose them and basically just have an interview sesh with them.
Just to get some ideas or some like how you could achieve something a little bit better maybe.
Yeah. And it's a gold mine. You know, I think it's great that the people have volunteered their time to do this. Yeah. The craftsmen have been so giving for that as well. And we also have a prop contest. So a lot of conventions have a costume contest, and RenCon also has a prop contest.
Cool.
Which is hasn't been really done in the Seattle area, and it's basically if you have just a prop, it doesn't go with a costume, or if you have something that you know you're super proud of, you can just enter that into the contest, and it'll
how interesting. Because if it stands alone, sometimes like if it's part of a costume, then you might not notice how excellent
the details.
Or maybe it needs to be brought up a notch. Maybe there's like it could go either way. And so for it to sit on its own.
It's kind of it's really interesting. But I mean, it would be something like the scepter that I made. It doesn't go to any costume, really.
Sure.
And it's going to be handled with just, you know, someone wearing normal clothes. But that could be entered into a contest. And
how fun.
Yeah, it has opened up the realm for people. And, you know, a lot of people have come and entered some really obscure things. And I like it a lot.
Now, one other thing I wanted to point out about the dream team that you were talking about, where you can get level up your cosplay and a workshop there. One thing that's cool is that it's a recommended donation of $10 to Treehouse, which is a charity that we at the end work with a ton as well. Mm-hmm. And so it was really neat to be able to see that they're getting service from a bunch of different communities in Seattle. So, and in this case, Renton, which is really cool. So you can sign up ahead of time for a 20-minute slot at RentonCityComicCon.com. Also, ticket information and everything there. What do you really look forward to? I know it's a lot of work and you're going to have to be managing a lot, but like if you were going to a con today, mm-hmm. what's the part that you most look forward to?
I really like hanging out with people after the con.
Yeah.
So for me, I really enjoy the nightlife as well. Being, you know, 20-something, it's, you know, we've still got energy to go. So I'll usually go to the con during the day. I like, you know, just doing the general shopping, looking at a bunch of stuff I don't need. I don't go to a lot of panels, mostly because I just don't look at the program enough to actually schedule out my day. But then, you know, at night, I usually just go out with some other cosplayers and we get to network and actually get to know the people as people. So that's my favorite part of it, because I see all these people on, you know, social media and everything. And it's really great just to build those connections. And then the next convention, I get to see those people again. And it's like seeing an old friend, you know.
That's my whole life. Like, yeah. I sit in a room by myself talking to no one, and then like I see people online. I'm like, oh, that person seems nice. Then you meet them in person. You're like, oh, hey.
Oh, look. Hey, hello. So I really enjoy that. And, you know, there's some nightlife events at Ren Con as well. They've got a VIP party on Friday night, which I'm really excited. I think I might get to go to if all my work is done. We'll get to go.
If you behave, we'll
let
you in.
Yeah, if I finish all my work, we get to go. But yeah, Friday night they've got a VIP party, which is always super fun because it's a lot of people who are just really dedicated to the industry. And it's just a great place. Like, there's like games and music, and you get to just get to know the people as people in a smaller environment. They've also got a pub crawl called Bar Wars.
Cool.
Star Wars. It's called Bar Wars. It's a Star Wars themed pub crawl. So there's a lot of events like that associated with Comic Cons that I enjoy.
That's so cool, because I always love, it used to be during Emerald City, like we would just randomly be down there after work getting a drink or something like that. Or like we were at it's not there anymore, that sushi joint that went away.
Blue Sea Sushi.
Yeah, that's a tough one to say, right? I've never, I guess.
Blue Sea Sushi. Yeah, it disappeared like overnight.
But we'd be sitting down there, and then all of a sudden a pack of Sakura-Con people would come in or something like that. Yeah. And you'd be like, what the hell is going on? There's a lot of tails in here right now.
I enjoy that as
well.
Yeah,
it's fun. It like just throws everything kind of on.
Just trolling people in the general public. So that's also another hilarious thing.
And you get enough people together.
Yeah.
Do you have any costumes with a mask?
Not yet. No, I don't think I've done a mask. I think it's more of a personal comfort thing.
There is something, even painting a face, there's something for me so weird about wearing a mask where you become, for me, it's a race car driver or something like that where their faces are covered and you mm-hmm. know, like it's suddenly all of the personality that you get from someone's eyes is gone and it's now
it's
just
body
like,
language now.
Yeah, and it's all however you dress yourself or whatever. It's like it really. Yeah. I would imagine getting into a character that has a mask on is so much easier because no one can actually read what you're doing, which is creepy, but also awesome.
I mean, it's so true. And we had to do mask work in college because, you mm-hmm. know, hashtag acting. and it's really interesting because it is that veil that you feel safe. And for me, it's kind of like wearing armor. You know, I feel safe. I feel, you know, comfortable and confident. But when it comes to a mask, all of your communication is through body language. And a lot of people really enjoy that aspect of it. They enjoy kind of the elusiveness of having a mask. And, you know, it's kind of their own little secret. So I can really see the appeal in it. I know that it is... I don't know. Some Comic Cons are getting a little weird about mask costumes now. And for me, like I said, it's just a comfort thing. If I'm going to be wearing something all day, I know I'd be taking that helmet on and off all the time. And I know Brian has some costumes with a helmet and I see him and he takes it off. And then you have to carry that around all day. I'm very like hands free. I need both my hands free. I need everything to have a pocket so that I don't have to like.
So carrying around that hammer all day must have been annoying.
Oh, yeah, it's not super heavy, but it like if it's something that can rest on the ground, like a staff or something, that's a little better. But
like a big blaster or something like that is probably a little less.
Yeah, the Nova gun, it was only about 5 to 7 pounds, but by the end of the day, my arms were so tired just carrying it around and just that little bit.
That's a workout all day. You imagine doing 30 reps on something that's 10 pounds. That gets your arms burning a little
bit. And I like couldn't walk up the stairs the way my armor was on my legs. It was so stiff. I had to go up the stairs like sideways or just like take the escalator. A lot of mobility issues.
I'm going to host a panel one of these years. It'll be cosplay ergonomics where you just watch a bunch of video of people unable to eat.
I couldn't eat. I couldn't bend my arms close enough to my face. Like I was just having to like chuck like nuts into my mouth or like do a little fruit roll up and dangle it from above, and it's pretty
hilarious.
You need
a feeder.
Like, just give me a really long straw. I'll just drink this smoothie, and it comes with the territory.
Okay, go see Hannah at Renton City Comic Con. You can get your tickets and all the info at RentonCityComicCon.com. Mm-hmm. Shorten that to RenCon. It's September 7th and 8th at Renton Technical College. Thanks for coming in.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
Have a lovely time dressed up as someone else.
You've been listening to So You're in Seattle with Gregor. Follow him on Twitter at HeyGregor. Find more episodes online at SoYou'reInSeattle.com. So You're in Seattle is a Burrito Butt production.
Yeah, you're a good dog chowder.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.